From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The countdown to the primary is on. We have 3 weeks to go until voting in California ends and ballots are counted. Last night in San Francisco, the four major candidates for U.S. Senate took the stage in a primetime televised debate. Democratic Congress members Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, and Republican Steve Garvey, they all tried to differentiate themselves on topics ranging from the state's homeless crisis to the border, the economy, and of course, former President Trump. Fox 40 anchor Nikki Lorenzo co-moderated the debate. Nikki joins us now from San Francisco, along with Laura Cordy, co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, thanks, Nikki. Thanks for having us.
All right, Nikki. The second debate for U.S. Senate as we head into the primary, where do you think voters got the most out of this debate last night?
You know, what's really interesting is going into this, because so much has happened since the last debate and over the past couple of weeks, we really have seen the knives come out between Katie Porter and Adam Schiff, and really Katie Porter initiating that. We all know that after Adam Schiff, you know, dropped that ad, name-checking Steve Garvey as the second candidate in the race, and Katie Porter accused him of, these are her words here, boxing out qualified Democratic women. And it just continued and it escalated from there. And it, Barbara Boxer came off the sidelines and decided to endorse when she vowed to be neutral. So we were anticipating that last night. And what we saw, I think, was a more measured approach from the candidates. There was a little bit between Adam Schiff and Katie Porter, but not as much as we were anticipating. And I really think, too, that the gloves stayed on when it came to Steve Garvey. I mean, you mentioned this in the introduction to us, that we're just a few weeks away from this primary, and you have two members of Congress. I mean, obviously, Adam Schiff is far and away the leader. He has the money, he has the endorsements, and all the polling, it shows him being the leading candidate. But you have two other members of Congress who are fighting for their jobs right now. So, you know, we were thinking that there was going to be more sparks flying, but the goal of our debate was to really hone in on policy and get them to answer questions. Because as we all know, covering politics, they're great at spinning those talking points, but getting them to say something specific is that is what informs voters. So as much as we didn't get those fireworks last night, I think we got some substantive discussions from them and really what they wanted to do. You know, we were really trying to pinpoint Katie Porter, you know, what does income inequality look like? We wanted to get, you know, a specific answer on Adam Schiff, and is he in lockstep with the Biden administration? And I think we got some of that.
Yeah, well, you and Frank Buckley, who was co-moderator, he's also with KTLA in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You did a great job moderating and really holding them to time. I appreciated the buzzer because they'll take advantage of that time if they have that opportunity. And as you just clearly demonstrated, I mean, you have in-depth knowledge of each candidate. You've interviewed them over the years. So I feel like you could probably make an educated guess as to how they would answer the questions that you and Frank posed. Did anything surprise you last night?
You know, I thought that, obviously the Trump question, that's something that Steve Garvey has been trying to dance around for a little bit. I was a little bit surprised that the candidates didn't go after him for, like they did in the first Politico Fox 11 debate, and sort of, you know, that's where Katie Porter had that famous line, once a Dodger, always a Dodger. You know, I was a little surprised by that. And I also thought another answer that stood out, and you know, Barbara Lee's been calling for a ceasefire, and she wants a two-state solution, and she's been in lockstep too. You know, there are innocent civilians when we're talking about the conflict between Israel and Hamas. But, you know, President Biden came out and he said a two-state solution is not possible without the elimination of Hamas, and she would not give a full-throated answer on something like that. So that was something that was, a little surprising to me, that she just kind of stood to that. And also they seemed a little uncomfortable when we were talking about the age question. Obviously, you're looking at President Biden, who's 81, and Donald Trump, who's 77. That's the vibe they gave to me when we sort of asked that question and pressed them on, what is too old? And there was some, you know, reporting too, that Barbara Lee was hinting that she might run for one term. And I know in the spin room last night, she said that was misinformation, but there are reporters that have said, you know, that's what she has indicated. So, Adam Schiff was very, he, all Adam Schiff had to do was not have a moment. You know, he just had to kind of stay there and maintain his top status. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, there were some definite moments in that where I was sort of surprised. And there was another, I believe it was a question from Frank, where he asked about Biden's handling of the Middle East, and Adam Schiff criticized the president a little bit, and you don't really see him do that ever. Hmm.
Laura, I mean, as you know, we're well aware, you know, the Democratic candidates are all colleagues in the House, and they often vote in line with each other. Where did you see the biggest differences between them on the debate stage last night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has been a running theme throughout this campaign, right? How do these three Democrats from California, you know, who have served alongside each other and a lot of times been allies on various topics, how do they differentiate from each other? And I think one of the areas where we've seen the most daylight has been the Israel-Hamas war. You know, as Nikki was talking about, Barbara Lee has really tried to distinguish herself as the person who called for a full ceasefire earliest. We have seen Katie Porter talk a bit about ceasefire, talk about the need, you know, to tamp down on Hamas. Adam Schiff, to Nikki's point, also, I think, was, you know, very notable in supporting Israel and saying that, you know, President Biden's assertion that Israel has gone too far is not exactly the way that he would phrase it. But, you know, he does oppose the needless loss of civilian life. So I think that's the biggest issue for Democrats in this race, and certainly for Barbara Lee, who has been lagging behind these candidates and is really trying to use, you know, a platform as the progressive in the race to amplify herself. Another area where I will say I saw a little bit of distinction is the age question. And that's something that Katie Porter has really tried to use to her benefit. Her colleagues are older than her, her Democratic colleagues are older than her. And while all three candidates, you know, praised President Biden and said that they have no problem with how he has been working in his administration, Katie Porter did say, you know, she thinks that the question of age limits and term limits, she said, I do generally think age limits are a conversation for all elected officials that we ought to be having. And so I think that's one of the few areas of distinction for Porter that she's clearly trying to play up in this race.
And when it comes to the Republican candidate, Steve Garvey, Laura, you wrote a piece in Politico magazine about when Garvey was making his travels across the state, you know, getting a better understanding of homelessness. I'm curious, since you have that deeper perspective of him as a candidate, he doesn't really have a record at all as an elected official. What stands out to you about his performance and his responses during these debates? Did you get a better understanding of where he stands on key issues?
Honestly, no. And that's simply, you know, Steve Garvey, I think, has keyed into the fact that homelessness is the number one issue for Californians. And it's really something that they expect their elected officials to have a strong position on and have a strong plan for. You know, I was with him when he was down in San Diego visiting the Alpha Project, which is a homeless shelter. He went to Skid Row in Los Angeles and up here in Sacramento. He also did some touring of the homeless camps with law enforcement. But the issue here, you know, really is that Steve Garvey has not articulated how he wants to fix homelessness. And I think just saying that homelessness is a problem is not really going to set you apart in a state like California, where everybody agrees it's a major problem. They're looking for some answers. And I think that Nikki and Frank did a really good job of pressing all the candidates to clarify their position. But, you know, Steve Garvey still couldn't give a clear answer to one of the basic questions, which is, you know, do homeless people deserve to be able to camp out in public places while they're waiting for shelter? He couldn't articulate that. And I think that's, you know, something that he's going to need to get much clearer on if he wants to be a serious contender and if he makes it to November.
Nikki, what do you make of Steve Garvey being tied in polling with Representative Katie Porter, you know, given that he doesn't really have a record as an elected official? I mean, is it as simple as he's just kind of threading the needle as an alternative to Democrats, you know, being attractive to Trump voters, perhaps, but also being appealing enough for undecided voters?
Yeah, I mean, he's really just trying to toe that line. I don't know how many times and how many ways we can try to ask him the Trump question, and he is just not going to answer it. And it's a non-answer is an answer. I wish these candidates would understand that. Saying, well, I'll evaluate it, I'll look at it. We know what you're saying there. And so with Steve Garvey, it's just he's banking on the fact that he is Steve Garvey. But, you know, unless you're of a certain age, a lot of folks don't know who Steve Garvey is. And so that could be the defining moment at some point. I mean, it's going to all come to turnout. And the way it's looking right now is obviously we have President Biden on the Democratic side, but it's looking like President Trump has this locked up. So does that, in the way California plays too, does that discourage voter turnout in the primary? It's all going to come down to the numbers. And so he's got to appeal. He's really trying to appeal to Trump voters, but also, you know, some of those moderate Republicans, wherever they may be in the state, and some independents that might look up at the stage and go, okay, you know, I don't really identify with any of these people right now. And what else I find is interesting too about Katie Porter, just to bring her into this, because Steve Garvey is the outsider, and we talk about him having no record. Katie Porter is a member of Congress, but she really has, you know, been pushing this populist, I'm an outsider, I'm different. I mean, the one jab Adam Schiff kind of took at her last night was he motioned, he didn't say her name, but he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, you trip over so many people who come to Washington and want to shake things up. Obviously that's a line from her ad and something that she's been pushing for a while. But Steve Garvey in the same vein is just trying to hope to be an alternative and appeal in a way to the Trump voters, but toe that line, because I know from speaking with sources within the Republican establishment in California that they're really trying to put up candidates. We saw it with Lonnie Chen in the last election cycle, that are more palatable, moderate Republicans that could pull over some, you know, NPP voters and some Mod Dems possibly. I mean, I've talked to some folks, and Laura, I'm sure you've talked to some people too, that are of a certain demographic, that Steve Garvey was their hero. They loved him when he was playing baseball. I mean, even at the time in the 90s, there was talk of drafting him to run for office then. So they're hoping that that name and just sort of his, you know, he speaks very slowly and he has this calm nature about him. And he's just trying to come across still as that warm, likable athlete. And he's hoping that's going to get him past the general. And every single policy question you ask him, whether, you know, it was on the stage last night or in the times I've interviewed him, he's like, I got to get the job first. I got to get the job first. And I had a Democratic operative say, hey, Nick, you know what? I think that's actually smart. He's like, I'm talking to people, I'm learning information, but I got to get the job first. And he's like, that could work with some voters. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, Nikki and Laura, thank you so much for the conversation. Look forward to having you back on soon.
Thanks, Vicki.
Thanks, Vicki.
That is Fox 40 anchor Nikki Lorenzo, who co-moderated the California Senate debate last night in San Francisco. And Laura Cordy is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.